In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Luke, the 16th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, which one would you rather be? The rich man or Lazarus? The rich man, he had it all. He's the kind of guy right here and now today that you'd see riding around in a limousine and arriving fashionably late to all the major events. He's the guy that would wear a Rolex watch, a three-piece Armani suit that costs thousands of dollars and not even blink an eye. He's the guy that could take a private jet to places you and I, countries we could only dream of ever visiting. His house would be that mansion. Maybe a modest mansion, of course. 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, multiple stalls worth in their garage for cars and ATVs and all the fashionable toys. Tennis courts, private gym, a pool. You get the picture. Lazarus has none of that. In fact, Lazarus is the guy you might see on the 52nd Avenue corner of Walmart. Or a deeper downtown, Fargo. His clothes, they would be ripped, they would be torn, his smell would, let's just call it what it is, he would reek. He wouldn't be one of those loud, obnoxious guys where you'd have always handing out, please, please, and kind of have some money, he wouldn't chase it down. No, he'd just be the guy kind of sitting there, holding a sign that says, homeless, please help. Dirty, smelly, holding the sign. You know, most people would just walk by the guy, not even know he's there. Which one do you want to be? The rich man or Lazarus? Now, I know my choice is not all that simple, is it? Because you know the rest of the story. You know how it ends. Of course, both die. Both are buried. The rich man, he ends up in hell. Burning. Torment. Crying out in agony, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue because I am in anguish in this flame. It's not a pretty sight. It's horrific. Lazarus, though, the poor man, Lazarus, he's in heaven. He is resting in Abraham's loving embrace, experiencing the joy of Jesus' death and resurrection, the mercy of the cross that brings bliss and peace and comfort. Now, which one do you want to be? I'm going to be honest with you. You know who I want to be? I don't want to be either one of these guys. You know who I want to be? I want to be Abraham. Abraham has it all, right? I mean, you read Genesis 13, and Abraham and his nephew Lot are so stinking filthy rich that even the land can't support Abraham and Lot dwelling together, so they got to separate things and part ways. Absolutely. He's the guy in all of it who's got Lazarus resting in his loving embrace. He's the one also who's there in heaven. He has both wealth in this life and in the life to come. Yeah, I want to be like Abraham. But that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to be like Abraham. You want the proverbial cake here? It's hard to have your cake and eat it too. It's hard to have both money and heaven. Because this is the chapter, remember, we heard it last week, where Jesus tells us you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the chapter where you learn that the Pharisees are lovers of money and they hate what Jesus is preaching because it'll take some of that money away from them. This is the chapter where Jesus shows us all how easy it is to be lovers of money, to be lovers of the stuff that we have, rather than the mercy. Lovers of money rather than lovers of mercy. You know what this chapter is? I'll tell you what this chapter is. This is the chapter that makes comfortable American Christians uncomfortable. Why? Why does it make us comfortable American Christians uncomfortable? Because get this. We're the ones who have pets in our homes, like cats, like dogs, that are treated better than the men at the 52nd Avenue Walmart or in downtown Fargo. You know, according to a January 2nd, 2025 article by Forbes magazine, Americans in 2024 spent, get this, $136 billion on their pets last year. Billion, with a B. Now, you compare that to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's budget as a whole, and a lot of that budget is mercy work, here and abroad. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's budget's $80 million. You want to put that in perspective? That's 1,700 times more spent on pets than on mercy, even in our own church bodies' budgets. Maybe then we need to think long and hard, do some soul searching when our money is spent so easily on animals. And I'm not against animals here. I'm just simply saying when our money is so easily spent on animals, and yet it's so hard, it's so very hard to spend that money on others. Giving offerings in church that are used for mercy, or actually out there in the world, helping people, giving to those who are in need. If you don't like pets, fine, I'll give you a different example. Not fine, they're God's creation, but you get it. Fine, right? So, if you don't like pets, if you don't like the example, think about this. That same research shows that Americans in 2024 spend an average of $149 billion on entertainment. That's video games, that's streaming services, that's music, that's movies, all that stuff. Or if you want to go even older yet, where did things shift? It doesn't get any easier. You can follow that back even as far as September 11th, beyond there, but since it's September, I'll use this as the example here. September 11th, terrorist attack. Prior to that, surveys done. The top five things in USA Today, the poll that was given, are the top five things that are important to Americans. Number one, career. Okay. Number two is this weird category called heart, which I guess is like feeling good about yourself or others or something. Number three was wealth. You know, it wasn't until they got to number five, family, that people stopped selfishly and sinfully thinking about them and looking out there at the other people. In this case, family. Family's number five. Yeah, the story about Lazarus and the rich man should make us comfortable American Christians uncomfortable. It should make us realize how difficult it is to be like Abraham. He may be able to have loved God and also at the same time have lots of stuff, but it sure is hard for us to do the same. Temptations of sinful selfishness abound. Our own wants and desires, careers, pets, wealth, health, entertainment, recreation, you name it. Often, more times than I care to count, I. We look more like the rich man in our attitudes than Abraham. We look more like the rich man, at least in our attitudes, toward those who are in need of mercy. We look like the rich man. But not entirely. You and I are different from the rich man in one key respect. Thank you, Captain Obvious, I know, for what I'm about to say. The rich man's dead. You and I aren't, right? There's the Captain Obvious. He's in hell in torment and agony, but your life after death has yet to begin. We still, like the five brothers, have an opportunity to hear and listen to the word of God. And God's word today and always is one of mercy. Priceless mercy. When I was a child, I remember there were these commercials, and I know I'm dating myself here, but there were these MasterCard commercials on TV. Maybe you saw them, maybe you remember them yourself. They usually started out with a wonderful scene of somebody buying something. So it might be a family on vacation, mom and dad are buying souvenirs for the kids, and then you have the commentary and the on both verbal and on the screen, it says tickets, $5. Souvenirs of your family vacation, $15. Lunch, dollars. Spending an entire day with your family? Priceless. I'm going to switch the slogan here just a little bit. There are some things in this world money can buy. Other things? Other things are just priceless. God's mercy. God's mercy is priceless. No amount of money can buy that. No amount of charitable contributions that you make can do that. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. God's mercy is priceless. It is simply a gift of God to each and every one of you. You know this truth. It is rooted deeply in your heart, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with your holy, precious blood, innocent suffering, and bitter death. You know, I think we might even be able to make a MasterCard commercial out of that. Let's try. Jesus, sold as a price of a slave to those who were in authority to be killed. 30 pieces of silver. Here's where we got to make some stuff up. Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate, gathering all those people together at an untimely hour, the payments, all those things that are going on. 40 pieces of silver. Fashioning a cross out of a tree, those wooden beams, the whips, the thorns, the men who are paid to beat and mock him. 75 pieces of silver. Your Savior, who chooses to endure that, who chooses to love you faithfully and freely unto the end, with his back, with his hands, with his arms, with his voice, Father, forgive them, shedding his holy, precious blood for you. That's priceless. Abraham is not in heaven because he's rich and did a bunch of good things with his money. No, he's there because of God's mercy. God's mercy promised and fulfilled to him in Jesus Christ. Lazarus, he is being held by Abraham not because he's poor in this life, but because he has Jesus' priceless gift of mercy on the cross. Because Jesus has risen from the dead from him. You are like Abraham, not because you have good things in this life, but because God has reached down into your life and he has given you something priceless. He has given you his own son. And that son has given his own life and blood shed for you on the cross. You are like Abraham and Lazarus because like Abraham and Lazarus, you have faith. Faith in God. By faith you fear and you love and you trust, not in money, but you fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's what makes you different from the rich man. You still have time to listen to God's word speaking to you, and God's word is one of priceless mercy from the one who has been crucified and risen and lives and reigns to all eternity. And what's more, that word of Jesus, that word made flesh, he speaks a word of mercy to us today about being lovers of mercy rather than lovers of money. I mean, you don't have to read far in the Bible to realize Jesus wants you to show mercy. We have seen, show mercy as we have been shown mercy. We've seen it to the poor, to the sick, to the smelly, to the dirty, to the hurting, to the widows, to the orphans, to the bag ladies, to the homeless, and so many more that make you and I uncomfortable. My wife has taught me that on a number of occasions. This thick skull, this hard head, this miserly, screwed, sinful brain. My wife has taught me that on a number of occasions. Several years ago, my wife and I went to, and this will date us, a St. Louis Rams game. Don't look for St. Louis Rams, and don't talk about the Rams in St. Louis. They've since been sold. But we were running late. We were hurrying to get to our seats, walking into Edward Jones Stadium, hand in hand. And I remember there was this homeless man sitting kind of near the entrance, just on the sidewalk, outside of the doors. He wasn't making a loud ruckus. He wasn't saying anything. He wasn't doing anything to draw attention to himself. He's just sitting there with a sign. And that sign says, "Homeless, please help." My wife stopped. She took time to reach into her purse, even though I'm looking at her like, are you serious? We gotta go. Our seats, the game has started. We don't have time for this. Let's go. Even though I'm looking like a Scrooge, mindful, sinful, redheaded jerk of a man, she's there stopping and reaching into her purse. And with a smile on her face and joy in her heart, she just hands it to him and says, Jesus loves you. A kind greeting. Now, my wife's faith shows me what mercy looks like. Sure, I want to be like Abraham. I want to have it all. And I know that being like Abraham is really more than giving a couple of bucks to a homeless man every so often. But you know what? Some moments in this life, they are just priceless. And that's one of those moments. Can you be like Abraham? Can you have your money and your pets and your entertainment and your careers? Yes. But only when you have mercy instead of all that stuff. God's priceless gift of mercy, His Word, Jesus Christ our Lord, high and lifted up on the cross, out of the tomb, from the resurrection to give mercy to you and I, poor miserable sinners. Only when you, by faith, fear, love, and trust in the one who is mercy, rather than all that stuff. Only when you love Him. And when by faith, as you see others in need, you stop, take the time out of your busy schedule, not because it saves you, not because it does anything for you, but because your neighbor needs it. They're a human being, created in the image of God, just like you. When you stop and you reach into your pocket, smile on your face, joy in your heart, you respect those who are in need. Yeah. To be like Abraham. To simply show mercy as you have been shown mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.